Hello? Who's there? Is somebody there? It's add this to your list. Add this to your list. That's right, everyone. Your favorite podcast is back with a vengeance. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the third annual spooky list of our podcast. So if you're just joining us and you don't really know what's going on, every October, Tom, Fumi, and I love to devote a whole episode to all things thrills, chills, scares, you name it. We love our horror. We love our thrillers. Even if they don't end up being that scary, we still love them. And so This episode is devoted to that genre. We are going to talk about TV and some movies that that are on our minds that, you know, are memorable for good or bad. You never know. That are all about the horror genre. But before I get into all that, let me introduce my co-host. We are national, baby. We are from the West Coast to the East Coast. On the West Coast, I have Fumi Samanu. What's up, girl?
Hi.
And then on the East Coast, I got my Connecticut cowboy, Tom Chuba. What's up, boy?
Woo woo.
How's everyone doing? It's October. A chill is in the air.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Love it.
It is. I love it.
Right? From now through December is my favorite time of year.
Oh,
really? Even when it gets super cold and starts to snow, I'm not here for
the snow. I'm here for the snow up until January 2nd. And then after January 2nd, I'm like, bye.
But yeah.
You're so ridiculous. Well, January 2nd.
January 1st, it can snow. January 2nd, no.
No.
Well, that's it's true. Because then once it's like mid-January, like I feel like it's actually worse. January, February snow is like, that's when it gets scary and like messy and nasty. December snow is nice and light and, you know, very
festive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
But Tom and I just worked on a short film that I wrote that we developed together at his house. I'm still exhausted. How are you doing, Tom?
I am exhausted. Y'all know me. I need like 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night, and I haven't had that since Thursday because I've had going on with work. excuse me. Mark said he's tired too.
I literally, my average of sleep is like 5 to 6
Fumi,
hours.
That is unhealthy. Wow.
Fumi, unfortunately,
I don't have the luxury of being able to get 8 hours of sleep. But how was the filming? I feel very disconnected.
It's a bummer. We would talk about like add this to your list, and we're like, yeah, Fumi's our co-host, you know, blah blah blah. She's like not here. She's on the West Coast in the sun. but no, it went really well. I mean, it was a whirlwind weekend. It was Saturday and Sunday, first weekend of October. We had about like 14 total between cast and crew at Tom's house. And I mean, it was truly, Tom will agree, it was truly an amazing group of people.
Yep.
Some people I knew, some people I didn't, and they just were recommended by other people. But everyone came together and like everyone was super fun and friendly, but also really focused, which was helpful when you're, you know, you have very limited time and resources. But the weather worked out, no rain or a little bit of rain, but it worked, right?
Yeah, totally.
We were on the boat, you know, the raccoons held off from damaging the boat some more.
Oh, Lord.
Are you going to post behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You'll see. Mm-hmm. You'll see. Okay. We have a little shared photo album going of like different people's photos. So we'll start.
Did you all spend the night at Tom's house?
Yeah,
Not everyone.
We got an Airbnb for 3 of the, you know, 14 people. Some people were able to just self-report and commute back home in like Westchester or Connecticut, whatever. And then how many people did we squeeze in your place, Tom? I slept on the couch downstairs, forgot my earplugs, so I got maybe 4
people
hours of sleep.
Slept were there at 4? My house.
It was you, me, Miel, 2 of the actors, Matthew and Alexander. Yeah. So there were 5, right?
5, yeah. Me plus 4, yeah.
Wait, where's Greg?
Greg didn't come. Yeah, he stayed home to work on candle stuff because then this upcoming weekend we're about to go to Maine to the cottage because he's about to sell hopefully 200 candles at a craft fair.
Look at y'all, business owners.
Yeah, yeah. Side hustle couple, baby. Side hustle couple. So yeah, I was basically like, bye boo, see you in a couple nights, wish me luck, I'll text you when I need your help and stuff. And I actually never really did, we barely spoke. But yeah, you know, as you guys might know, and Fumi, you know, when you're shooting, like especially like a crazy shoot like this, it's like nothing else exists but this.
Exactly.
I mean,
abso-fucking-lutely.
You don't even look at your social, you're not even reading your text. I still haven't read my text, sorry, if you've texted me, I'll get back to you eventually.
you're totally right.
But anyway, let's begin the topic of horror, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, of course, it's October. This is the season to embrace the darkness. And boy, are we. We got some news. We have some horror-themed headlines. Ooh, I like that. Horror-themed headlines. HTH. And we want to discuss them. First up, some big news for many fans out there. It's, of course, one of the biggest shows ever. Stranger Things season 4 is a go. I don't think anyone is surprised. Did you guys get a chance to watch / finish season 3?
Yeah, it was fine.
Nope.
Oh, it was fine. Wow, Tom, you didn't love?
I don't love Stranger Things, period. Jeff really likes it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good show. I don't think it's, you know, one of the best shows ever.
Right. But, it's definitely general audience.
I feel like it's time to start wrapping it up, though, because how many times is that freaking wall or whatever they call it, the door to the other dimension going to open?
The gate. Yeah,
yeah,
right?
The gate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, close the fucking gate.
I mean, season 3 surprised me. And as you guys remember, I talked about it earlier this year. I really loved it. And that ending felt very sad and final, but then there was that little cliffhanger scene. I won't say it, but there's a little scene at the end that starts to open up the world a little bit. And so season 4, as the Duffer Brothers and Netflix has announced, we are kind of going outside of Hawkins, Indiana. The world is getting bigger, which is cool. Yeah. I think that's exciting and smart for the show to now start, yeah, after 3 years, let's maybe expand a little bit and show some other worlds.
But they only plan on 5 seasons. So it's like, while you're expanding, you also kind of got to really wrap up.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, 4 could maybe be a little wild and go places, and then maybe 5's back home or something. But also keep in mind, they only maybe want 5 seasons of this specific show. You know there's going to be spinoffs, so, you know. But I think that's cool. I think the show's great. So season 4, obviously, happening. I'm not sure what year, but I know they take their time. So probably 2021, I bet, or something like that. Tom, you want to tell us some new news about the very exciting Halloween sequel. What you got?
Yep. So, like, Fumi has been coined the Netflix queen. I want to be the Halloween queen, okay?
Mm-hmm. Can I preface the start of this conversation by, like, having you guys not go on a Halloween tangent? Because y'all are waiting to do that, and I get bored as fuck, and I zone out.
Can't you both just... Tom doesn't like Housewives. Fumi doesn't like Halloween. I mean, I need new co-hosts. Anyway, go on.
So, really quickly, Nancy Stevens, who you guys may know as Nurse Whittington, Marion Whittington, in the original Halloween, in Halloween 2, and in Halloween H2O, she is coming back for Halloween Kills, so I think that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
She's the wife of director Rick Rosenthal, who kind of made a name for himself, so that's, it's kind of cool that she's getting her name back out there. And they also leaked photos from set because it started filming 2 weeks ago. And it shows that they are at a Haddonfield Memorial Hospital. So everybody's wondering, ooh, are you essentially just going to remake the 1981 Halloween 2 where Michael Myers follows Laurie Strode to the hospital? Or is it just a quick scene because Laurie was severely injured at the end of the first Halloween 2018? So it's got people talking, and their marketing is smart again, like it was for the first go-around last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Tom? I have a feeling it's probably, it might like open in the hospital, but
yeah,
I think they're staying in the hospital.
Yeah, agreed. Right? Yep.
Yeah. Much like Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, which actually I didn't hate as much as the first one, but I remember that had a great opening scene at the hospital.
With Octavia, yeah.
Yeah, with Octavia to pay homage to the first sequel. So, you know, okay. Well, very exciting. I love that actress Nancy Stevens. She's so spunky, and I like her in those movies. So, hey, Nance.
We're at the risk of going on a tangent, though, Mark, so you better move on.
Well, that's why I was like, okay, wrap it up. What you got? You want to tell us a little bit about some TV horror news?
Yeah, apparently The Walking Dead doesn't have enough spinoffs, even though nobody's watching their fucking show. It's like, what is going on?
Fumi's not having shit tonight.
No, I'm actually in a great mood. I'm fantastic. So we know that Nico,
Tortorello.
Tortorella. EQ.
Is going to be starring in this series.
Yes.
It's going to be airing on AMC in 2020. It's yet untitled, but apparently it had its debut panel at New York Comic Con.
Yes.
Just a few days ago, on October 5th. So I don't know. I've never been a Walking Dead fan. I never watched The Walking Dead. I don't watch Fear of the Walking Dead. So, Walking Dead people out there, can you guys explain to me why AMC insists on doing so many spinoffs? How many zombies can you possibly follow?
I know.
I'm just a little confused.
I know, because we've talked about how that show, like, I mean, it's surprising that it's still on. And Fear the Walking Dead, even though that looks beautiful and much like this new show, did you guys see the trailer for the new spinoff?
No.
No.
It does look good, and there's actually some comedy in it, which is interesting. Like, it's mostly about the first generation of teens that have grown up during the apocalypse. So,
but, like, how, like, I love a zombie movie. That's the thing. Like, I am always here for a zombie movie, zombie show. But, like, how much zombie shit can you take?
Well, exactly. Especially since Fear the Walking Dead was supposed to be very different from The Walking Dead.
Right.
They were going to show how the outbreak kind of started, how the world got to where it is in The Walking Dead universe. And it's like, okay, that was the first three episodes. And then it basically just became
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I stopped Fear the Walking Dead. It started getting like on the water, which was cool, but it just felt like meh. But I think you guys are on, like, Fumi, you're saying, like, how much more zombie shit can you do? And it's true. That's why, like, I love that Netflix show I talked about earlier this summer. I think it was called Black Summer. A really good zombie show, but it's very contained and it's very action heavy, not a lot of dialogue. So I think Walking Dead, like maybe this one, I mean, this one looks like a lot of dialogue because it's kind of coming of age teens with a horror backdrop. So I think it looks kind of good, but like, yeah, I don't know how long that can go because we like zombie stuff because of, you know, violence and action and scares and not so much the character drama, which gets very mopey after a while. So
yeah,
we'll see. But I at least, I mean, it's a clever idea and I love Nico, right? Everyone loves Nico. And it looks like a mostly group of unknowns, like young adults. So that could be interesting. We'll see. And then in our last little horror headline, I thought this was pretty exciting. We all wanted to chat about Jordan Peele's Candyman remake. So those of you out there, of course, you might remember from the 80s and early 90s, there were a couple Candyman movies. Tony Todd himself, who played Candyman with the hook, he's back. And it sounds like he will be returning to play Candyman himself.
That's
in
wild.
The Jordan Peele produced sequel. It's not really a remake. I guess it's kind of like Halloween. It's sort of, it sounds like it's a sequel reboot kind of thing. And it's directed by Nia DaCosta. So Jordan Peele will produce it. I'm not sure if he's writing it, but it comes out June 12th, 2020. So they must be
almost
shooting
done.
Very soon. It's just so funny how, like, October, it does not really seem to be the month anymore to release big horror movies.
I know,
it's
that's really
crazy.
Disappointing.
Yeah, like June?
Well,
but
I mean, Halloween Kills will be coming out in October next year, so.
Right, of 2021, right? Or 2020?
Mm-hmm. 2020.
Oh, 2020, then, yeah. So yeah, that's cool. That'll be exciting. I feel like that's Candyman's a kind of scary movie and bad guy that I feel like you can do some cool things with because he's still a little under the radar. Like, diehard fans know about Candyman, but like, have you guys ever seen those movies?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
The first one's like super spooky, very, very freaky. So cool. That'll be fun. And now, shall we move on to our spooky list?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, gather around the campfire because we have a very special list this episode. So, those of you who are our big fans, thank you for listening. You have heard us in the past talk about, you know, good remakes, good sequels, bad sequels, some under-the-radar horror that we love. So we've talked a lot about movies, and we thought it could be really fun to talk about scary or Halloween-themed TV, and specifically certain episodes or certain stories that really got to us, right? So we're each going to talk about two items, and I'll let you guys go first and then me, where we're all going to talk about something that truly did scare us that was on TV, which is hard because we all agree, you know, there's some good scary stuff on TV, but ultimately, can it be as scary as a movie, right? So we'll talk about some stuff that scared us and then some stuff that maybe wasn't so scary. Maybe it was a little disappointing or maybe it was still super fun, but it's a little more, you know, PG or G rated Halloween stuff that still we remember. So why don't we go with, I'll go with Tom first. What you got for us?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to pick as my scary episode, American Horror Story Murder House, which is season one. If you'll remember, when that season premiered, it was in early October. So by the time Halloween rolled around, they did a two-part episode about Halloween. So it was split into two whole weeks. And I just remember it being scary as fuck, guys. So season one was creepy in and of it. Yeah, totally. Season one was creepy in and of itself because you had that haunted house. You had the ghost in there. It was the first season of American Horror Story. You didn't really know the formula, didn't know what Ryan Murphy was up to. And if you'll remember, the season one Halloween episodes focused on Thaisa Farmiga's character, Violet, being home alone. And she's being stalked by trick-or-treaters. That's also the episode where you learn that what happened between Zachary Quinto's character and his partner. Because they were preparing for a Halloween party themselves. And then they got into a huge fight. And spoiler alert, one of them... If you haven't seen it, guys, it's 9 years ago. Come on. Yeah. Spoiler alert, one of them kills another. And that's who becomes, you know... that's who becomes one of the ghosts in the house. I was going to say that's who becomes the rubber man, but that's not exactly true. And then, if you'll remember, right, Constance, Jessica Lange's character, the next-door neighbor, her daughter had Down syndrome, and for Halloween she wanted to be a pretty girl, and she had this really creepy doll-esque mask on, and she was walking around the neighborhood trick-or-treating. So I just remember really being taken aback by how genuinely scary that episode was. Because quite frankly, I mean, American Horror Story season one was the first time you really saw something that scary on TV in a very, very, very long time.
Or maybe ever. Yeah. I mean, that first season was disturbing. I remember, I think it was episode two of that first season where it was in a flashback in the beginning of the episode, a girl just getting stabbed repeatedly in the back. Do you remember that?
It was, no, I don't.
Yeah, it was
feel like the first season was scary, but it was done so
it was
well.
Done it was so it was a mess. Thriller. It was a hot mess.
Well, I remember just the theme song, just the opening titles. Was
the first time
scary.
You heard that, yeah.
It was disturbing.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Good choice.
Totally, totally. That one definitely stuck with me. And then my second pick was kind of more on the fun side. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys will remember this, but I'm going to go with Felicity's.
I'm not even going to allow you to insult me in that way.
I know,
like, I don't know if you guys remember this.
I know, it's her favorite show, and it's actually my favorite shows, too, mm-hmm. ever. But Felicity Season 1, the Halloween episode, I love it mostly because Felicity dresses up as the Bride of Frankenstein, and if you remember, she had that mm-hmm. curly-ass frizzy hair, and it fucking worked. She slayed mm-hmm. that costume.
Oh, she looks so good.
Right? Uh-huh. I mean, and it was also, like, you have to think about it. When Felicity was airing, we were, like, 4 years behind college, right? Like, college was still 4 years ahead of us. So it kind of, like, made you excited about, like, what Halloween could be like as an adult. Like, these are, like, what college Halloween parties are like, and... You know, it's not about, like, going trick-or-treating with your parents or sitting in a basement with your friends going through candy after going trick-or-treating with your parents. It kind of just, I don't know, was optimistic and fun. And I think she and Ben have, like, an awful fight, so there's that backdrop in the episode. It's just great. It's just well-written. It was super creative to make her the Bride of Frankenstein. And it's just one that sticks with me. Because honestly, guys, a lot of Halloween episodes don't stick with me. And I had a really hard time with this. Like, I remember, I know everybody talks about how good Roseanne's Halloween episodes always were. And I vaguely remember them. But other than that, I can't remember any other Halloween episodes on TV shows aside from the two that I just talked about and Roseanne.
Wow.
Honest to God.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah. I remember those the most. Although, it's funny, I remember them from, like, when we were younger. Like, I have a harder time later in life remembering Halloween themes.
Right,
episodes,
yeah. Maybe shows just don't do it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't do it like they used
no,
to.
No, no. Yeah. Halloween's not the same, really.
Yeah.
True. I'm scared about getting your kid shot and all that stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. Talk about horrific. Jesus. All right. Well, cool, Tom. Nice. Nice picks. Good picks. All right, Foom, what do you want to tell us about?
Okay, so the first one on my list is... I already forgot. It's like, what did I write down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Fear itself with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, if you know me, you know I'm going to pick a Buffy one.
I know.
So you shouldn't be shocked. So this one I picked. So Buffy was one of those shows that did do Halloween themed episodes.
See, I don't remember that. And I was a huge Buffy fan.
I don't understand how you don't remember.
Tom, you don't remember.
Honestly, this is absurd.
So Buffy did two iconic Halloween episodes, but then, of course,
Halloween and Fear Itself.
Yes, Halloween was season two when they all become their costumes.
Costumes.
Oh, brilliant. Yes. And then Fear Itself, which, Fumi, what happened in Fear Itself?
Yes. So Fear Itself, they're in college, and they go to a fraternity party. And unbeknownst to the fraternity party, as they were decorating for Halloween, they conjured up a demon, unbeknownst to them. So it turns the house literally into a haunted house. The house feeding on each person's fear that they walked in. And it was done so well because obviously you have different aspects of each person's fear. So Xander's character, I think, ended up becoming invisible. And like one person was like, it was like bugs or seeing like decapitated heads. And
I do not remember that.
Wow.
Oh, God, it was so good. The entire house ended up having this spell on itself where you couldn't get in because Giles was trying to get into the house. Or no, not Giles, Xander's girlfriend at the time, that really odd woman.
Oh.
She was fantastic, but she was odd.
Anya, I think.
Anya. Yep. Anya was trying to get into the house, and she couldn't because she was a demon herself. And so she had to go get Giles to try to help her to get in the house because Buffy was in there, and Buffy was completely,
I think,
like...
Yeah, was Buffy dressed as, like, Little Red Riding Hood or something?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And she was kind of dating the loser boyfriend.
Riley.
God. Riley was such... I guess I was still hurt over the fact that she wasn't with Angel, so Riley didn't stand a chance.
I mean, Riley was super cute, but, like, kind of a dud. And also, like, college, that season was... Like, their dynamic wasn't as exciting, but like you said, there were great episodes like this and Hush.
Such fantastic episode. Oh, my God. Well, Hush initially was what I wanted to pick, but Hush was not a Halloween episode.
Yes,
it was actually a December episode.
Was it December? Okay, but I mean,
December.
Like, iconic.
Phenomenal. Iconic. Actually, that was the one episode. Oh, no, it was Hush and... Well, anyway, we're getting off track. As you can tell, Mark and I could go on
and on
about Buffy.
You know, I wrote a college paper about Buffy. That's like my freshman year.
You did?
Oh, yeah, I wrote, I forget exactly what, but it was like first semester in an English class, and I wrote all about Buffy, and I don't even know what I said, but I had to edit myself because the pages kept coming out.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm getting off track. But anyway, so the show itself, Fear Itself, was season 4, episode 4. Halloween themed. It aired around Halloween, I think a couple days before, and it was just such a good show.
Yeah.
And what made it so great was that it wasn't necessarily scary in the sense of some other Buffy episodes, but it was just done really well in terms of like how the house, they took a literal haunted house and made it in a scary way. And then they hype up this demon, right? Because it's like, what kind of demon can take this entire house and everybody who's in it, make them disappear and then leave some people literally quivering in their fear? And then you see this little demon and it literally was like the size of an ant. It was so funny, the comedy of it all at the end of the episode. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
The demon they conjured, literally like she stepped on it and she killed
it. Yes, I remember that. Yeah. It's so kind of like anticlimactic. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, oh. And that's exactly how their response was. They like played with the audience. It was just like that. It was like, that's it? That's who he is? He's so cute. Uh-huh. Like, this entire episode, they're all freaked out about this demon, and he just ended up being this tiny, itty-bitty little man, which was a metaphor for how your fear is really this small thing that you allow yourself to, like, get consumed by, when if you just, like, tackle it, it's nothing.
Yes.
But the episode was just done so well.
Yeah.
So well.
Totally. Love it.
And then the next thing on my list is a classic. This actually legitimately scared me. One, because I was 6 when I first watched it. Was I that? No, I was 11 when I first watched
it. Yeah, you might not have been 6. I feel like we were young, but, you know, you...
No, 91. I was 6.
Oh, 91. Wow, this came out... Sorry, Greg is laughing at something. I hope you guys aren't hearing that. I don't know what he's laughing at. Wait, okay, I won't tell you what it is. You tell us what it is, Pooh.
Yeah, this came out in 91.
Wow.
And I was 6 years old, and it was so terrifying. It actually came out in 90, so I was five. No, I was six. And it was so terrifying that I don't know why I watched it, but I loved it. And it is The Tale of the Lonely Ghost from Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes, classic. Ugh.
It's a classic episode.
Love it.
And I remember loving the show so much. It was all part of Friday night on Nickelodeon. It was like all that and Are You Afraid of the Dark? And they had like two other, like another hour of programming.
Oh, yeah. Iconic.
And it was all about the tale of the Midnight Society and a group of friends who got around a campfire to tell scary stories. And this show was legitimately scary for children.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you think back on it, it's not something you probably think would ever make it on air today for kids. Little kids like that. But it was such a well-done show.
Remember the clown in the opening credits?
Yes, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It was a beautifully like created set. Every episode felt so different, right?
Absolutely. It was really, it was like anthology before mm-hmm. there was anthology, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this episode was so terrifying. So you had a girl who was so desperate to be like friends with her cousin. She spent the summer with her cousin's house and they were mean girls, right? Mm-hmm. And she was so desperate for their, just to be friends with them, they dared her to go sleep in an abandoned house next door. And the rumor was that the house was haunted and there was a woman who lived there all by herself because of, you know, the death of her child. And she ends up going and sleeping in this house and, like, this lonely ghost appears to her in a mirror. And it was so scary. I remember not being able, I think I, like, slept with my mom and dad for, like, a week after watching that episode.
I love that.
But it was done so well. And it just, to this day, like, I don't have the best memory. Like, you guys know that about me. But to this day, I remember how scared I was watching that episode. But then again, I also couldn't stop.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh yeah. I have the whole series on bootleg DVD. So sometime when we're all together again, let's watch it. And
yeah,
I'm
totally.
So glad you're talking about this room because if you have all heard, you know, the new Are You Afraid of the Dark is about to premiere in just a couple days as of...
I can't wait.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. Maybe in the next episode, we'll do a little deep dive on what we think because... Hopefully it's good. I mean, I'm trying to keep my expectations low because, you know, how things are now. But, man, what a just great show. Everything about telling the scary stories around the campfire and then just it was all so beautifully Canadian, too. You know, everyone was like...
Not beautifully Canadian. You know?
Oh, love it. Was that the same one, Foom, where the ghost would say, I'm cold? Or was that a different
yes!
one? Yes! Was that the same one?
Wait, I think it was the same one.
Because, yeah, there's that.
Because, yeah, because the little messages that would appear before the ghost came.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she was a very friendly, you know, little ghost of a girl.
Right.
But still, it was terrifying.
Oh, yeah, totally. Love it. Also, a similar show that needs to get shouted out is Goosebumps, because I remember some of those episodes were scary. Do you remember that, like, one where the girl wears the green mask on Halloween, and then it becomes, like, she becomes the green?
Yeah.
That was, that was freaky, right, when we were kids?
Uh-huh.
Totally. All right, well, I will wrap up our little scary list, and I have two items as well. So my first episode is my scary one, really scary. This totally disturbed me, and I'm going to have to go with Tom. It's American Horror Story as well, even though we might kind of make fun of it nowadays. In those early seasons, it was truly disturbing. And this is from my personal favorite, season 2, Asylum, which really had some disturbing shit going on.
That was a fucked up season.
That was a fucked up season with Bloody Face.
That was a great season.
That was a great season. You had all... That was when Ryan Murphy immediately started putting in a little too much stuff. Like, we had aliens. We had, like, those...
aliens and this.
We had the weird, like... experimental monster people in the woods. Like, a lot of that was, you know, but just, of course, the religion stuff itself, and then Bloody Face, and, you know, separating the lesbians, because Sarah Paulson plays Lana, who was a lesbian, and, like, just all the danger with that. But, guys, this specific episode, I believe, was called I Am Anne Frank Part 2. I forget when it aired. I think it was November of 2012. So I'm not sure the exact number, but this specific moment freaked me out so bad. I still get the heebie-jeebies thinking about it. When Sarah Paulson, I forget exactly how, but she breaks out of the asylum, and Zachary Quinto's character, Dr. Thredson, helps her and takes her to his house. Do you remember this? And she's sitting on his couch and they're chatting and she's so happy to be free and she's going to try to find her girlfriend. And when he gets up to go to the kitchen or whatever, she and we see that the lamp has nipples on it. Do you remember that?
No.
Vaguely.
Oh my God. Oh, how do you guys not remember that? Oh my God, I'm clutching my chest as I'm talking about it. The lampshade that she's right next to, she realizes, and like, and the camera just sort of lingers on it. And you don't even, like, I remember I was like, what is it? And then like, it was just perfect editing and pacing and it's silent. And you, just like she, realize, oh my God, that lampshade is skin. That is someone's skin. And she starts freaking out quietly and she's like, I need to get out of here. And then she takes a wrong turn in the house and then like ends up in his basement and he says, so I see you found my little hobby. I like to make things out of skin. And that's when we find out, sorry if you haven't watched it, like Tom said, it's not new. We found out that Dr. Threads and that Zachary Quinto was the original Bloody Face, right?
But I don't remember the lamp with the nipples. Ooh,
no, me neither.
Wow, maybe, guys. Maybe. Well, I'm looking at a picture right now because I Googled it. And definitely just Google American Horror Story Asylum lamp and you'll see what I mean. And maybe rewatch that clip because that was horrifying. Imagine you're drinking a glass of water on someone's couch and you're thanking them and you're trying to like plan your life. And they step away to go get, like, some knives to start trying to kill you. And you realize, oh, shit, I picked the wrong house to go into. Right? Spooky. Super spooky. And then on the flip side, a scary episode that isn't so scary, but I love it so much.
I almost picked this one.
Did you?
But I knew you'd want it, so I let you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I knew you guys would also love this, too. But I have to give it up for Dawson's Creek season 1, in my opinion, the only good season of that show. Season 1, episode 11.
What?
Yes, Foom. I think we might have talked about this. I watched every single episode of Dawson's, but the true best season was the first one. The detention, the Saturday detention.
Season 3?
What? I don't even know. And especially once they went season to college, I did not give a shit.
Season 3.
No. What happened in season 3? That was when Joey
is in love with, yes, with Joey.
That was when Joey was like the center of attention and all the ads were like,
Joey and Dawson belong together.
Oh my God, I just threw up all over my dining room floor. I have to clean it up now. What? You're not even true Dawson's Creek fan if you were to say something so ridiculous.
The
show ended the way it was supposed to
break be. Break it up, break it up.
Team Pacey.
Oh my God, wow.
We won!
Speaking of, James Vanderbeek has so many kids. I know this is off topic, but holy
shit. She's just pregnant for like the sixth one.
Literally,
I don't
with their sixth beautiful blonde baby.
I don't think they believe in
birth control. What'd
you say? I don't think they believe in birth control.
Oh no, I don't think so either. I think you're so right. I think they're developing a cult, a commune. And all those kids are going to be wearing long, white, flowy dresses. And they're going to be living in, like, log cabins. Yeah. You heard it here first. Anyway, so the episode that I want to talk about, it's season 1, episode 11. It was towards the end of the season. It was, like Fumi was saying, you know, like with Hush and everything. This episode technically was not a Halloween episode. It aired in May, randomly. But I think it's because by then, Scream was, of course, a certified hit, and everyone was getting it on video at the time, and because, of course, our dearly beloved Kevin Williamson had created Dawson's Creek, of course, everyone was like, you gotta do a scary episode, and The Scare was such a fun episode. It's set on Friday the 13th, and there's a kind of killer like in the general area, and it's got everyone kind of spooked, and Jen, played by Emmy winner Michelle Williams now, is getting these creepy calls right out of Scream. Right, it was perfect. The camera's like lingering outside of her window. She's like, Graham, someone's calling me on the phone, and it's like these anonymous phone calls, right? And then Pacey kind of is flirting with this like kind of strange older woman who I don't know who she was, but she was great. And she's
the teacher?
Like, what'd you say?
The teacher?
No, not the teacher.
Who did he have an affair with in the first season?
Yes. First season, he's dealing with that, totally. But then, of course, I guess it was just his thing. He was with this other sort of older woman that he finds like at a gas station or something, and she's drawn to him and she's super wacky and she just...
Oh, so before he found his soulmate in season three.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Season one, he's a little lost, right? He's just going for the wrong women. And so he brings this older wackadoo woman with them. She sort of just inserts herself and she brings along her like weird deranged boyfriend and they're doing a seance and the lights go out. And you know what's also fun? Speaking of the Scream and Felicity connection, Scott Foley is in this episode as Jen's date. So he that's a fun little 90s connection. But it's just super fun. You know, the lights are going out. And because Dawson, as we remember, loves like movies and scary movies especially, he's kind of he dressed the house up in certain decorations, which just add to a fun thing because once they're truly scared and the power goes out, now like the decorations are an extra layer of scary. And I remember they are watching I Know What You Did Last Summer in the episode, which I thought was, as a kid, I was like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever, right? And then at the end, I remember Joey and Dawson realize they're like watching the news and they realize that the guy they were chatting with at the gas station actually is the serial killer on the loose and they caught him. It's like a fun little, oh my God, we were talking to that guy.
Ruh-ro.
So I just love that episode so much. I'm sure you can find it online. It's such a hoot. Go watch it. The Scare, season one, episode 11, Dawson's Creek.
Nice.
So that is it. We had a good little mix of scares and fun stuff, fun scares. So just to recap, we had American Horror Story season one and two. Season one was the two-part Halloween episodes that Tom was really freaked out by. Season two was the episode, the Anne Frank episode part two of season two that really freaked me out. Fumi got a little freaked out by Are You Afraid of the Dark? And Fumi told us the tale of the lonely ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't you forget it. And then on the fun side, more WB action. Tom and I got our WB on with Felicity, the Halloween episode in season one, and Dawson's Creek, The Scare, season one, episode 11. And last but not least, you cannot talk about scary TV without Fear Itself, the Fear Itself episode in Buffy, which was season four, episode four. So that's our little TV talk. But before we wrap up this little scary festive episode, let's talk about something that's been on all of our minds, but mine especially for the whole year, because you guys might remember 2 years ago, there was a big flop, a big golden turd called The Mummy. No, not The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. Those movies actually were great and they were huge hits. No, Universal rebooted The Mummy with Tom Cruise and Sophia Boutella as a female mummy. Did you guys ever see that? Did you guys ever check that out?
No, no interest.
Yeah, right? It has like dismal reviews. No one cared.
I was curious because of how bad the reviews
were. I do kind of want to check it out sometime if it's free to watch on something.
Absolutely.
Right? Free. That was supposed to be the first movie in a new dark universe for Universal to bring back the Universal classic movie monsters. We're talking Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Mummy, Creature from the Black Lagoon, all these epic characters that scared people in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, right? This, technically, like, Universal was the first one to do the whole cross movie world that Marvel does, right? They were having Frankenstein meet Dracula and the Wolfman meeting the Mummy and all this stuff. So
even Abbott and Costello meet them at one point.
Exactly, right?
That's a great one.
Totally. In the 50s, and it got kind of goofy with Abbott and Costello, and then everyone's meeting each other, and, you know, that was the whole world that they built. So what's interesting is Universal wanted to redo this and do a whole big budget action adventure thing, which I think right there, that's what people didn't like. It's like, when you do a big budget action adventure scary movie, it's not going to be scary. It's action, right? Tom Cruise doesn't do horror. He does Mission Impossible. And this is basically Mission Impossible, the Mummy version. So that one didn't do well, even though they had already cast Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man, Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Javier Bardem as Frankenstein. Apparently, Angelina Jolie was in talks to be the Bride of Frankenstein, which is pretty great casting. There were some others, I think, but they were going to do this whole thing and scrapped all those plans because no one actually cared about this. Then came Blumhouse, owned by Universal. Blumhouse came in and said, hey, we can do these movies for a fraction of that budget. We're great. We're successful. Here we are talking about The Invisible Man recast. Johnny Depp's not in it. We talked about it earlier this year. That just finished shooting. So we wanted to just talk and brainstorm. what would be some dream casting if we were to reboot with Blumhouse all of these classic movie monsters? So let's go through. So basically, the movies that they have decided they want to do, they range from, like I mentioned, Invisible Man, Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Jekyll and Hyde, plus Phantom of the Opera and Hunchback of Notre Dame, which were the first two silent Universal horror films. So guys, what do you think? Who do you think should be playing these roles? We are no longer doing the major A-list, you know, stars, and I think that's probably for the best. Who are you? Who's on your mind for some of these roles?
I think Zach Quinto should play Dracula.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Although he's playing the vampire on that Nosferatu show.
Yeah, so which is quite sleepy. I checked a few episodes out and it's a little sleepy, but that's interesting. Yeah, I feel like Dracula, it's interesting because we talked about Luke Evans recently because he's in Ma, and he was just recently in, a few years ago, Dracula Untold, which was sort of part of this potential new Dark Universe reboot, but that didn't do well either, again, because it was action-adventure, and so I don't know if he's still going to be involved if they do a Dracula, but I do think he is a great Dracula. You need someone that's sultry, sexy, charming. Like, Dracula's got to, like, really, like, woo you and bring you in.
See, I think Harry Styles could be a good Dracula. Wow. Or Wes Bentley.
Wes Bentley.
Oh, Wes Bentley. Yeah, oh, bring him back.
Yes, yep. good choice there. He's got that great, like, polished, thin, pale, seductive. Yeah, I like that. And Harry Styles. Interesting.
Don't you think?
I could see that.
He pulls off a very, like, dramatic, sexy eye makeup. He does it very well. Look at his Met Gala outfit. Oh. And the way he did his whole makeup. I'm telling you, it would be fantastic as Dracula.
Okay. I could see, oh my gosh, I was just thinking of someone, then I blanked. It'll come to me. Damn, who was I just thinking of? I could also sort of see, if we wanted to do, like, you know, colorblind casting, as they say, like the guy from Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh my god, oh, I was Golding, just yeah. going Henry, to say that too.
Were you thinking that film?
I swear to god, I was just thinking
I love that, because
I was like, who's the Asian man in the movie?
Right? I think he could totally do it. He has that very tall, polished, beautiful, like, seductive, and he's
absolutely
right, and why not? Let's go with some different races, of course.
Absolutely. Right? I could not agree more.
But damn, I was thinking of someone else. It'll come to me. I forget. But anyway, and like for Bride of Frankenstein, I was thinking, like, I was also thinking of other women who have done Blumhouse movies. And like, yeah. I don't know, maybe she's not big enough for this, but she's kind of doing a great job in these horror movies. I could see someone like Allison Williams doing like Bride of Frankenstein, creepy wide-eyed, like, you know, something like that, or...
She's skinny enough to pull
She is,
off.
Right?
I really, like, want her to, like, drink the blood to gain some weight.
Yeah. but I know, like, they wanted, like, I could also see, like, Michael Fassbender. I could see him as sort of a Dracula. Mm. He's sort of, like, swoony, right?
Okay.
You know? Who else? What else do we think?
Bride of Frankenstein?
If we're going to go colorblind casting, I would love like a Tika Sumpter.
Or Zendaya could do it.
Oh, Zendaya. Yeah, Zendaya could do something like that. That'd be interesting. Yeah, I could see that. Or even like, I'm trying to think, like, who's a beautiful, like, redhead? Like, that's still...
Natasha Lyonne?
No.
No.
Oh my god. She's Emmy nominated now. Don't make fun of her.
Well, she's great. Don't get me wrong. I love her, but she ain't right for these movies. No. But like,
I do kind of like the idea of maybe doing a Rose. How do you say her last name?
Byrne?
Yes.
Ooh, Rose Byrne. I like her a lot.
I like her being the Bride of Frankenstein, but then like making it funny, scary.
Oh,
comedy so well.
She does comedy
and,
so
like,
well.
Really doing a twist on that.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
That could be fun.
Oh yeah, totally. Okay. Now, what about the Wolfman? Tom and I actually were chatting while we were working on the shoot. We briefly mentioned, I think it was Cursed, Wes Craven's kind of weird horror comedy Curse, which I still love, but it was quite a mess. Now, what do we think about the Wolfman? Like, this is one that is always remade. We always have had different iterations of werewolves. The last one I actually kind of liked with Benicio del Toro and Emily Blunt and Anthony Hopkins. That came out about 10 years ago, and it was pretty good, but it didn't really do much at the box office. But what
is Hugh Jackman too obvious?
You know, that's not a bad idea, but it is kind of obvious. And he was, and that's also, remember when we were, well, I was in high school. You guys might have been in college because you're a little older. Sorry.
Excuse.
But do you remember when Hugh Jackman was in that weird movie with Kate Beckinsale, Van Helsing, where it brought all these monsters in? And it was fun, but it was like really, again, like this weird action adventure vibe that's like, it doesn't really work, right? So I wonder.
I think an unknown for this would be really
okay,
good.
Totally. Yeah.
I think they should scrap it completely.
You think you think they shouldn't even do Wolfman?
This one.
Yeah.
I don't think a werewolf can be scary anymore. I don't know. Mm. I mean, think back to any kind of movie that was werewolf-esque, right? Even back to like the one in the 90s, An American Werewolf in Paris.
Yeah, the sequel. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, An American Werewolf in London, the original, really is pretty scary and fun. It's like it really walks that fine line like Scream does where you're laughing and you're terrified. But yeah, werewolf stuff, it's very tricky.
Oh, you know what? Tom, I totally see what you're saying, but I think if you're going to do the Wolfman, do it where it's like, it's not scary. Like, make fun of like the concept of the show and maybe have like a Jesse Eisenberg starring in it.
That's funny because he's in Cursed. He's in the werewolf movie that Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson did.
Oh.
Yeah. But that's an interesting thought. Yeah, go a little different. Yeah, Wolfman, I'm not sure. And I was thinking, do it with a female. Do a female, like, wolf girl. But then I know I haven't seen it, but I know there's the, like, pretty iconic movie from the 90s, 2000s, Ginger Snaps, that people love.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's like a low budget, like, super successful horror movie about, like, these teen girls that, as they, I guess, get their menstrual cycle, they become werewolves or something. Apparently, it's very good. But yeah, I don't really have many other ideas. Although I have to say, I still to this day love the 90s movie.
I have to go back with you commenting as girls get their menstrual cycle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. They get their period.
No, yeah, literally. Yeah.
No, it's funny. It's just funny to hear you say menstrual cycle. Like you're like an 80-year-old grandma.
Well, I mean, you know what? They get their period. Ew, gross. Oh, I'm really going to vom.
Oh, you know who could potentially play a good Wolfman? Patrick Wilson.
Oh, okay. I could see that. Totally. Okay. Yeah, I like him a lot. Totally. Mm, yeah.
I love me some Patrick Wilson.
He could also be... Who else? Well, okay, let's move on. I actually think their next movie... So they're going to do Invisible Man. We know that. That's with Elizabeth Moss and the guy from Haunting
Oliver
of Hill House.
Hudson,
yes. Oliver Cohen or something.
Yeah,
Jackson
yeah, yeah,
Cohen.
Yeah.
I think their next movie should be one we haven't seen in a long time. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I feel like we haven't seen a version of that in a long, long time. And you could get someone really good. I mean, in my dream world, like Leonardo DiCaprio would be it. Someone who can, like, be very calm and, like, normal and then go batshit crazy. Like, you
he
need
does
someone.
That well.
Right?
He does that well.
He does that well. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I don't know. Who else could that be? Who's, like... Really?
Idris Elba.
Oh, really? He can go batshit?
I think he can,
he totally could, too. Yeah.
I do like Idris Elba for something, definitely. He should do... Oh, he could be Dracula.
Yeah.
I could see that.
He could, yeah.
Or, like, if Jared Leto... I don't know. I like him. I just feel like he's sort of in a weird point in his career, but he could do... Maybe Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or...
Wait, sorry, real quick. You know who could do Bride of Frankenstein? Catherine Hahn.
Wait, Tom, what? I'm so...
Why?
Yes!
I don't see
her.
That whatsoever. Why?
Just picture her hair going up like crazy.
But like, she's not really...
I mean...
I don't know, I don't really...
Or she could be the female Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because she could go real crazy.
These are very interesting choices.
I'm just trying to get a bitch some work.
Oh, I mean, hey, I love her so much, but I don't know if she fits into this universe, but maybe. Oh, you know who else could be Bride of Frankenstein? Because I'm just thinking of, like, that angular face, right? Because apparently they wanted Angelina Jolie, and, like, the original actress had that very... I could see, like, Emmy Rossum. I could even see, like, Jennifer Connelly if they wanted to go a little older. Or even, like let's get Naomi Watts some work or something. I don't know. I could see more of that. I love Catherine Hahn, but she's a little too normal. Ooh, I could see like Amy Adams. That'd be fun if they got like big Oscar caliber people.
Oh, you know who could be a good Wolfman? Who plays Noah on The Affair? Dominic,
Cooper.
Right?
Dominic Cooper. I
no,
see
no,
that.
No, not Dominic Cooper.
Oh, Dominic, not Dominic Cooper. Dominic
Monaghan or something like
is
that.
Is that his name? Wait, no.
How do you not know you love that show?
Yeah. Let me look. Is it Dom? I don't think it's
Bitch,
Dominic.
I know his name is Dominic.
Let me see. The Affair. Wait, his name isn't Dominic Cooper Dominic or Monaghan. West. It's Dominic West.
Yeah, that's it. That's West. It.
But anyway, who else? Okay, now here's my thing. I love Creature from the Black Lagoon. Have you guys ever actually seen the original movie? I love it so much.
I think it's too old for me to actually enjoy.
It's actually quite fun.
Enjoy old movies.
Yeah, it's like straight up the 50s. Yeah, but it's actually very fun and very vivid. But here's the thing. We just had The Shape of Water, which was basically a retelling
ridiculous.
Of it.
So, and then ridiculous. Swamp Thing, right?
And Swamp Thing. So like, I feel like if they're going to do that, which I guess they will at some point, that should be one of the last ones because that's just too fresh in our mind. Human girl with fish man, right? But I feel like the girl an obvious choice would be like Margot Robbie swimming in the lake,
yeah.
You know? Or like if we were to do something a little different, like maybe, I don't know, I could see Zendaya, I could see... Who's like young? Oh, I could see that beautiful girl. I don't know her name, but she was with Allison Williams in The Perfection on Netflix. She's stunning. She's from Dear White
Logan
People.
Browning.
Logan Browning. Yes, I would love to see her swimming in the lake and this creature's coming after her, right? I could see that.
Oh, I got a question for you guys. If you were going to make any of the monsters gay, which one would you make?
Well, definitely Dracula.
Oh my God.
Dracula definitely.
How did I not know this was coming?
Oh, boy. I mean,
but it's a good ass question.
It's a fun question. What do you think, Tom?
Dracula is probably the most obvious.
Dracula's the most
gay. Dracula was
gay.
Wasn't he like bisexual?
Yeah, he's kind of like.
Dracula didn't discriminate.
Actually, no, you know who I would do? I would do.
Ooh, sexiness.
Yeah.
But not really.
I would do Frankenstein.
Really?
Why?
Because of the symbolism of him being shunned by society.
Okay.
I think Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde would be really, really, like, it'd be really interesting to take that spin on their relationship.
Yeah, totally. I was thinking that, too. That could be fun. Like, straight Dr. Jekyll and then, like, crazy Mr. Hyde or something. I don't know. That could be interesting. Yeah, I like that. That's a good question. And then, like, and then when we, real quick before we wrap up, then we have the really old movies, Phantom of the Opera and Hunchback of Notre Dame. I mean, have we ever had a live action like film version of Hunchback of Notre Dame since then.
I feel like it doesn't work.
I don't know how that would work. Like, because Disney of course has their version.
Yep.
That's the one most people know.
Peter
nowadays.
Dinklage could do it though. I think he could pull it off.
He wasn't, wait, but Quasimodo wasn't a midget.
You can't say that, Tom. You can't.
I'm just imagining.
He wasn't a little person.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
Can't you see it, though? I feel like it would be... I totally see that.
I mean, he'd get even lower to the ground, though, because he has to sort of... But yeah, I don't know too much about that one. I mean, like, we had Phantom of the Opera with Emmy Rossum back in the 2000s. I don't know. I don't know who could play that now because that's very makeup heavy. I don't know. But either
what
way.
What about Frankenstein? We didn't talk about Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, Frankenstein. Well, Frankenstein, well, we have Dr. Frankenstein and we have the monster. So you were thinking, Tom, were you saying someone
the
could
monster.
Be the
monster?
Who could be the monster? Did you have an idea?
No, Raymond's brother, what the heck's his name? Brad Garrett? He would be a good one because he's so tall and bulky.
What in the world? What in the world? Oh, you know who would be really good? I don't know his name, but he's the big guy on, I only watched one episode. I didn't love it. That Netflix show, The Umbrella Academy. There's a very, very tall guy. Do you guys know?
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know that actor's name.
I don't know his name, but he's like that good looking, really huge guy. He could do it. Totally. That'd be kind of scary. I actually love the Frankenstein from the 90s with Robert De Niro as Frankenstein. You guys remember that one?
No.
No.
Oh, God. Watch it. It is so scary. It is so scary. It's him, Kenneth Branagh,
Tom
and
Hopper
Helena Bonham Carter.
What you're talking about.
What'd you say?
Tom Hopper from The Umbrella Company.
Oh, Tom Hopper. Yes. Yes. I could easily see him as a new Frankenstein. Or, like, you need someone who's... He's, like, the biggest one, right? So you need someone who's, like... I mean, Jason Momoa is busy with Aquaman, and he's too pretty anyway. You need someone that's mm-hmm. like pretty but can be really creepy. I don't know.
Bobby Cannavale?
Interesting. You're going for like funny people. I could maybe see that.
I'm just or thinking like, tall. Wait, I'm just who? Thinking tall people.
Bobby Cannavale?
Oh.
Or I don't know. I gotta think more about that one. Someone who's like tall and really big. Not The Rock. Mm-mm. But yeah, and then just to sort of like start to wrap this discussion up, it's interesting because there are plans for a new movie coming out in the next couple of years called Dark Army, where it will bring all these people together, but it's directed by, I never know how to say his last name, it's directed by Paul Feig, who did like Bridesmaids and The Heat, like total comedy director, so I don't know how I feel about that. What do you guys think?
I'm here for it.
Yeah?
Let him spread his wings.
Yeah, try some dark stuff.
Yeah, try it out.
Okay.
Apparently, the guy who did The Joker did comedy before.
Absolutely.
And apparently, Joker is super intense, so.
It sure is.
Oh, yeah. He did, like, the Hangover movies. He did Road Trip, one of my faves, with Tom Green and Sean William Scott. So, yeah, that's true. But I think that wraps up our list. Any other casting ideas you want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's good.
No, yeah. This was good.
Yeah, Blumhouse, take your ideas and hire us and invite us to your meetings, okay? See you Monday. Yeah. But so that is it. That is our 76th episode of Add This to Your List. Thank you guys for checking us out. We love Halloween and we hope you're having a great Halloween season. Watch these episodes, think about these old movies, give them a little rewatch and think about who you want to cast in your own version, you know? I think Michael Fassbender would be really good in any of these movies, I do have to say. But that is it. We will see you next week. Thank you guys for listening. Please give us a review on iTunes. Give us some stars. We really love that and appreciate that. Thank you to Jay and Allie and Greg. Thank you, Fumi Tom. And we'll see you
thank
next
you,
time.
Mark.
Oh, well, thank you. Wow. Okay. Thank me. Thank you. We'll see you next time and have a spooky night. Oh.
Trick or treat.